Well, howdy, listeners. Welcome to a special edition of the Daily Crier Listening Show, where all the news and varying and beyond can make its way right to you. Now, it's a fine sunny day here. Artemis is settling back in, I think getting ready for another journey. And I've got a fun little bonus transmission for you all. I found this one in the Alarian archives. It's the second part to one from a few years ago, but I reckon with all the Johannes and family focus we've just had, this could be a mighty interesting look. Now, that all being said, I do know there are more secrets within the archives, and I hear word of new and spectacular transmissions to come, many of which will only be available on the $5 tier of the Goblins and Growlers Patreon, patreon.com/goblinsgrowlers. Now, without further ado, on to the transmission. And as always, y'all take care now.
So, moving into our next user-submitted question, if Johannes was in our world, what job would he have?
Yeah, he would work, like, manual labor of some type. He would be
beautiful manual labor.
Oh, he would be the greatest. He'd be the greatest, like... for any contractor's team or whatever. He'd be the guy who's always there like 15 minutes early with donuts and just does his work, probably talks a little too much for people's like preference, but at the same time he's such a hard worker that nobody does too much. But that's what he would probably be, something like that. He'd be the absolute, like, exactly who you want on your team for a contractor.
He wouldn't be like a model or anything like that.
Nah, I don't think so. Just because I don't see him. I don't know. So I don't really see Johannes as being an ambitious person. And I feel like for a model, you really have to have that drive. And I don't. He has drive, but it wouldn't be for himself. So I don't think he'd fall into modeling unless somebody like drove that for him.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to like find him and then be like, I will be your manager. I will guide you through this.
He would
this.
Have to have that sort of scenario. I think if he was, I mean, like, it's really easy to see Johannes as this kind of like Zoolander-esque Hansel problem. Like, but no, I think because he's such a, he really is a diligent, hardworking, like, that's probably what I view kind of some of his best traits and assets, and it also minimizes a lot of his things that he's not good at if he has somebody who's like a distinct leader.
No, I think that's fair. For Johannes himself, I've got a few questions as well. First, how did you end up worshiping Soon?
For the Alon answer first, I said, hey Alex, who should this paladin worship? And Alex is like, Soon. That's the goddess of beauty. So that seems to fit well. And that was in the early concepts when Johannes was supposed to be a little bit more prideful, but it still stuck. And I like nowadays that he worships Soon, probably in a fairly unorthodox way. I haven't really looked into it, but I like the idea too that Johannes also sees beauty or lack of beauty in the world based on people's morality, which is something that I've mixed in from time to time. And I think that that's super fun.
Before we jump into the Johannes side of that question, some fans have noticed that when Alex says things to Johannes, Johannes will frequently respond to her as Soon. Was that planned, intentional, or just something you decided to roll with?
Yeah, that was an improv joke to begin with, and then I thought it was really funny, and I kept with it. I like the idea, too, that Johannes, it's really funny to me because I love the idea that he's simple enough that he actually can, at times, notice that this is a game. Like, there's a degree of, like, I am a character being played in a story. And that's something I find really funny. So every now and again, I like to dip into this weird, he's in that space. But yeah.
That's actually raised a fan theory that I am Soon.
Yeah.
That, like, Johannes is canonically speaking to me and I am his idea of what Soon is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's like canon, but I really enjoy that theory.
Is that also, is that a fan? I feel like that's canon. I feel like that's canon.
Also, one of the things that I really enjoy is Soon is also the goddess of sex, and we've never brought that up.
is there only one?
I feel like Well, I mean, there are goddesses of, like, hedonism and stuff that fit, but, like...
Mm, there's got to be a demon of bondage
Soon,
out there.
Soon is essentially, like, Aphrodite kind of deal. Yeah,
that makes sense. And I would say for Johannes, probably, let me do the Johannes answer. I got, you know, I went to Paladin school, and of course, the first thing they do when you get to Paladin school is they give you a sorting sock. That's right. They come up to you and they say, this is the sorting sock. It's going to tell you what god you should follow. And they tell you, you got to put it on your head. And it's really difficult because it's got the tight elastic, but if you try really hard, you can get it over your head. And at that point, everyone around me laughed and left. But when they left, on the back wall, there was this row of gods and goddesses, and the light going through the window up above me landed on one of them, and it was Soon. And I knew that the sorting sock had chosen for me. As it had done many great paladins before me, the students assured. I've never seen anyone else use the sorting sock, but I think I got chosen because I was special.
That is also fantastic. The next question I have for Johannes is, what would you think of Alon if you met him?
I know I quite rashly called him a jabroni earlier. It was very, very rash of me. Things that I like about Alon, a list of affirmations. One, immaculate hair care. It's a unique style. It flows. I think it fits his personality. Two thumbs up. Two, he has both a great and horrible sense of fashion. And I like that because he kind of clashes with himself in a way that makes me feel like he's discovering himself anew every day. And three, you know, I applaud him for remembering to brush his teeth as often as he does, once every 2 or 3 days.
Gross.
You didn't have to put yourself on blast. Three things.
No, I do better at brushing my teeth than that. I just couldn't think of a good third thing. There was a time where I was really bad at brushing my teeth.
We all need Johannes affirmations. Can that be like a Patreon exclusive? We do shotgun that idea. Johannes affirmations for the morning, for morning meditation.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that sounds both delightful and like it would take a lot of work to like. What are some good generic affirmations we can give everybody?
Yeah, Johannes is so specific.
Yeah, he tends to be so specific.
I think another one would be I made a pretty banging Johannes playlist after learning that making playlists for your characters was a thing.
Please send that to me so I can use it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's
the only one who sends me music is either Josh sends me like full curated playlists that are organized by atmosphere, or Brandon who sends me 2 wrestler songs.
I was going to say, it's not just booty everywhere.
No, it's he sent me Ass Man and Common Man Boogie. The reason John Cena's theme is on there was because that was the only wrestling theme I knew of.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, Johannes's is almost all neoclassical, I think. Or I think it's all Baroque. It's all Baroque music.
Perfect.
But it's stuff that I think Johannes would listen to, which sadly does not include some of my favorites because I don't think Johannes would like them.
Johannes would be a very Ariana Grande bubblegum pop kind of dude.
Yeah, except for in Baroque. So I had to really try to figure out what that would be because like my favorite, like I really love like Brahms and I'm a big fan of I'm blanking on his name right now. He does Gymnopédie. Do you know who I'm talking about? Eric Satie.
Yes.
Yeah. So like people like that, but that's so not what Johannes would listen to. So
actually is on the Quid Pro Role playlist already though. So I got you.
A Satie track?
Yeah.
Nice. I love it.
I'm not entirely uncultured.
Well, no, I Baroque music is not kind of in vogue for a reason. It's a little dated. It doesn't fit really well with other, it doesn't play nice with the music of today. But yeah.
All right.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
All right. I'm going to hit you with a quick and easy one before I hit you with another large, deep one. Boxers or briefs?
Johannes is boxers for sure. Johannes is probably like printed design boxers too. And they're always some sort of like dad joke or something. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a pair of boxers that has like chickens and eggs on it. And like,
oh, so's Josh.
Yeah, or it would be something like he would have boxers that would have like just like little cute animals on them or something.
Tiny pigs.
I think probably I'm gonna just make a very profound statement. I think all paladins are boxer people. Just gonna throw that out there.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Including like Ainine and June.
Boxer people. I've seen June punch things.
Inner boxers, just punch in the sky.
Oh my God. All right, all right, all right, all right. Big deep question. How does Johannes want to handle Eek when he returns to the party?
Oh, that is a big deep question. I thought for a brief second you were setting me up for... So what? How many shoes? gosh.
You were expecting to actually be deep.
Right. So... Johannes, for sure, I think Johannes has probably made it hopefully clear on the podcast, but Johannes for sure, like, still very much loves Eek and still very much does not believe that Eek is evil. And Johannes definitely, if Eek came back, Johannes is the kind of person who, if you're his friend... And if you, no matter what happens, like if you come back, you're still on that ground with Johannes. So if Eek came back today and said, hey, I want to join the party again, there would be no question from Johannes. From the rest of the party now.
Yeah, I think
we run the gamut.
I feel like you made that pretty clear in that every time Eek is brought up, Johannes is like, he's not evil.
Yeah, he's Johannes just is really confused. Sad. Yeah, I think Johannes, I haven't thought about this too much, but just positing it now, I think Johannes, because he's so easily duped, even though he doesn't know it all the time, I think he probably also feels for people who he feels have been kind of like led in the wrong direction. Cause I bet that that's happened many times in his life. And there's probably been a few times where he's actually figured it out. And so I think he probably has a ton of empathy for anyone who he feels has been led astray because they didn't notice something or recognize something.
I can dig that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How does Johannes feel about death and dying.
Woof. Johannes is as best as I can play him. He is a happy-go-lucky, lovable, kind of clumsy oaf of a person. And so, oaf, I know. I don't think he really, I don't think he's ever thought about death. And that's not to say he hasn't seen people die, killed a man, done a, I mean, we've watched tons of things happen in this podcast, and yet I don't think he's ever really come face to face with mortality. And honestly, I don't think he ever will. I think he's a pretty, it would take something very confrontingly drastic for him to think about what he thinks about death. He's a pretty simple guy. And when it comes to, I think Johannes is probably not a person who, in any sort of like philosophical manner, like thinks about that sort of stuff.
So what I'm hearing is torture Johannes with the concept of death.
Jesus.
I
mean,
I think, again, it would have to be, you'd have to really simplify the concept of death. And by really simplifying it, I don't know if you could put it in a space where it would be a terrifying or torturing concept.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you'd have to really walk, you would have to be some villain's mastermind monologue where he really walks Johannes through the permanence of what death is. And I think Johannes gravitates often from, as far as like how I play him, of like somebody who he's, doesn't, I think he comes across sometimes as childlike because he doesn't really care about a lot of like the things that kind of are like philosophically dark, like that just doesn't, he doesn't think about them, they doesn't, I don't even think they really register at all even with him, so you'd have to walk him through it. It would be one of those situations where, like,
it'd have to be real existential.
It would be one of those situations where, like, the evil bad guy would outline his plan, and then he would notice that Johannes isn't horrified, and he'd be like, "What? Why? Why have you not? Why do you not try to stop me?" And Johannes is like, "I don't know. I don't know what's going on." And he's like, "Do I need to walk you through it?" And he's like, "Please, I don't. What? What is this?" He's the guy who the evil bad guy has to monologue his plans for like 3 or 4 times and then gets frustrated and just flips the lever into the shark tank. I was gonna let you sit here idly while I went and enacted my plan so you could escape, but no, it's not even worth it at this point.
It's been 20 minutes and my lunch was 13 ago.
Yeah.
Does Johannes regret any particular choice the party has made?
Oh, man. So the easy answer here, and the truly true answer is he doesn't. I don't think Johannes really regrets anything. I think he operates on a, especially if it was a party decision. He trusts everybody in the party so much, and I think he operates on a like do the best with what you have at that moment. And I don't think he really thinks backwards almost ever. So the easy answer to that is he hasn't really thought about it. Like he doesn't think back on things, but to get to the heart of like what that question is, I bet you Johannes, to some extent, that's probably one of the reasons why he wants to see Eek so much is because he wishes that obviously that wouldn't have happened or that he could have done something differently. To some extent, but I don't think it's in a regret sense. I don't think Johannes thinks backwards. So he's a very in the present person.
Yeah, I could see how that would be the case.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things that's difficult for me because I'm a pretty pensive person myself. So it's a little difficult for me to play that, but one of the things I do to try to make myself play that right is I just try to not prepare myself for anything and try to be very like in the improv state of mind when we're playing.
Alon won't even let me like talk about potential plotline stuff with him.
No.
He doesn't, he wants to be so in the dark, I can't even plan things with him.
Yeah. It's the only way that you're going to get me to hop on that bush.
All right. These last couple of questions are for both Johannes and Alon, or either. Did you have a moment with Rosemary Limon when you called her Rose and she said she really appreciated that?
I legitimately forgot her name. I knew it was a flower and I got lucky. that's the easiest answer from Alon. I think this is I've talked briefly with you about this, but this is a good time to say Johannes is canonically. So when I changed Johannes's personality, we just talked about that. I changed it pretty drastically from what it was originally to what it is now. I based a lot of the kind of like happy-go-lucky aspects of Johannes on two of my best friends. And one of whom is Ace, identifies as Ace and is Ace, and Johannes, I think, is absolutely the same. Just because I identify a lot of the traits that he has that I think are really awesome with her, and I think that that's he's probably very canonically Ace.
That actually does open a question from me, because I've had talks with some people who have asked about like how I do romance arcs and if there are romance arcs coming down the pike for various characters, which my response is usually, I don't know.
we plan a lot less than, well, you plan a lot, but I think we plan a lot less than people think.
Yeah, I plan extensively and then I just sprint around picking up the pieces of everything else. But if he's Ace, that makes perfect sense. Is he also Aero? Because those are two different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think he definitely loves people and loves friends. Just like if you talk to anybody who's Aero and Ace, will tell you, like, the companionship of friends and people is just awesome to have and all about it. I don't think he sees anything. I don't think he sees any type of thing as romantic. If Johannes was going to have like a partner who he's like, I love this person, it would be in an Aero sense, and it would probably be a rock or something like super stupid and
we
silly.
We shall go live in a cottage.
Yeah, yeah.
On
so
the sea.
I think definitely Ace and Aero canon to Johannes is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I didn't want to cut in the middle of you talking because I didn't want to interrupt your flow. But real quick, for those at home who might not know what Ace and Aero are, they are shortened terms for asexual and aromantic, which are both sexuality choices.
Now, I should make it clear, Johannes does not know what those are.
Look, identities exist whether or not we have the words identify them.
Right, I wanted to make that real clear to all the listeners. So unfortunately, because I can glean the insight, the roll into why that question was asked, I probably somewhat disappointingly, Johannes did not have a moment.
I mean, I do actually really, really like how Rosemary and Johannes got on. And I actually, as it's been going down the pike, Alita and Johannes's relationship has been amazing, how it's been growing. Like, Johannes went from being annoying to Alita to, like, her favorite, like, one of her favorite people on the party. Because when he's like, this is the right thing to do and we need to be doing this. And she's like, yeah, we should.
I've never thought about that. I never thought about that progression until just now when you said it.
Yeah, like her giving Johannes the mirror pendant was like, I don't know about you guys or where y'all were, but being Alita in that moment, yeah. Like I was in my feelings. Like I ate like half a pint of ice cream after we did that recording.
I don't remember that recording super clear, but I do remember Johannes understanding the gravity of the moment. I definitely, the thing with Johannes is truly like an amazing friend. All the people who I look to as paragons of friendship in my life, which include all of you, I've like taken a lot of those traits that I myself would want to exhibit, and those are just what Johannes is.
Johannes has a lot of depth to him that when we first ran this, these characters, I was sort of like trying to like fit tropes to them. So I just sort of not to stereotype, but just sort of figure out sort of what arcs I was going to work with. Yeah. It was shorthand.
Yeah.
And Johannes, I was like, okay, he's the, you know, dumb kind of this dude. And then like, as the game has gone on, like, I don't think there is a single character that has made me have like emotionally moving moments as much as Johannes has. And I think that's true for a lot of the cast.
Awesome.
Like, I've had emotional reactions to stuff the cast has done. Johannes is probably the only character that I've had like I was moved.
I love it. Yeah, he feels a lot. He feels a lot, which is also something that's very different from me myself. Not in the like I feel nothing because I'm a man sense, but just because I'm a pretty just generally I don't have big emotions. I have small emotions. And Johannes has big emotions. But I also think Boat does a really great job of succinctly summing up whenever we see people. A lot of times Boat's like he might seem like a simple guy, but I don't remember how he says it. Brandon always captures these things really well and succinctly, and I think it's his news background, but he's like, he says a thing like, he might seem like a simple guy, but just, you know, listen to him with a grain of salt, but he'll do the thing. And I think that that's for Johannes, there's a barrier to entry to appreciating him just because he is very simple but not straightforward, and straightforward at the same time. I don't know how to put that. Brandon could actually probably do it really well.
All right, the final audience submitted question I have for you is, what are some things that Johannes doesn't want to do but does in service of Soon or his oath? And vice versa, what are some things that Johannes really wants to do, but doesn't in service of Soon or his oath?
I'm sure there's examples of this, and if you guys can think of some, throw them out there. But I don't think Johannes has done something he doesn't want to do without a really hard reason for it. I think Johannes is a very, his concept of being a good person is to listen to his heart very much. Like, that's who he is. And I think that his concept of what Soon would want him to do is that. So I don't think he ever does something he doesn't want to do in service of Soon, but that doesn't mean he always is doing what Soon would want him to do, if that makes sense. So I can't clearly think of examples right now, but I do think that Johannes has never, I've never felt like Johannes has done something out of his nature, for any sort of like Soon or, yeah, I think there's been times where I myself, Alan, as a player have messed things up for sure. I know people in the re-listen, like one re-listen I bopped into was during my least favorite episode, because I myself as a player did not like how I handled the fight with Gren. But Johannes,
you mean
did great.
Gron?
Yes,
Gren.
Okay, I like how canonical in real life the Alan Johannes, Alan Hannes, Johan mix up of names is.
Yeah, I just turn it up to 100 with Johannes. I really try hard, especially in the early episodes when I'm trying to establish traits that I can lean into if ever I need something to, that Johannes can be in the space. I try really hard to get names. I think of what I think they are, and I try to turn that knob to 11 and say whatever that is.
I mean, in full fairness, I also dump a ridiculous amount of lore on you guys.
I mean, even if you didn't, I'm just bad with names. I do a lot of name games and stuff. I used to be a camp counselor, and it would take me a full week. Like, the last day, I would remember kids' names.
Oh, God.
It was bad. I was very, like, cool dad at a barbecue, like, hey, sport. How you doing, champ?
finger guns.
Yeah, toss you a Fresca. Did that get you?
Yeah, it got me. All right, so that's everything I've got for audience questions. Alex, do you have anything else you'd like to ask as part of this interview segment?
I mean, honestly, I think that a lot of what I wanted to know was in the follow-up questions that I already asked. A lot of the stuff that, like, I really want to get in with Alon, I can't, because I want to be like, ooh, what if we do this storyline? Like, would this be something fun? And Alon would just be like, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it. Do not tell me. Like, I helped you plan my backstory, and that's it.
Yeah. I'm really good with, if you, the things to do with Johannes is if you give me a bone, give me an objective. Bone is a really good metaphor. If you tell me what the bone is and throw it, I'll get it. I don't want to know what's in between me and the bone, though.
Because, like, most of the time, like, the only stuff that y'all know down, like, that any of y'all know down the pike is, like, big. Hey, I'm going to need your help to get this general plot idea, because I don't want you to completely hate doing this.
Yeah.
Well, I think you and I have fleshed out a lot of stuff for Solinar, just because we spend so much time together that plot planning.
And there's nothing else to do but talk about quid pro role.
I'm just saying, like, plot planning is bound to happen at least a little bit. But I have even been like, we can talk about this, but I don't want any details on these things.
And I have not given them to you.
I know,
but I held them forever.
Yeah, you guys have no idea how excited I am for some of the upcoming storylines, because we're finally getting to the meat of the story, of like the story where all of the stuff that I've been planning forever has been like building to. So I'm sitting here like clawing at my notes like, yes, soon.
I was going to say, I have some idea because you've messaged in all caps in our chat multiple times just out of
I'm
nowhere.
I'm so ready.
It'll be like 3:48 a.m. just like, oh my God, you guys.
Look. I am doing masterwork right now. All right. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh my God. All
well,
right.
Well, this is cool too, because like a lot of those questions, as far as Johannes goes, when I found who he is, I haven't really explored. Like, I haven't done any of that really awesome character work that people build for OC stuff, where you like really go through the list and you try to really compile how would your character feel about this, what's their favorite this and that. I haven't done almost any of that with Johannes, so
we should do that on an episode. We should do like I'll get one of those OC character questionnaires and have you like answer it on recording for Patreon.
We should do that for each character, but that
yeah
will be for another recording session, because this yeah. one, I think we are all set. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and we will see you on the next Alarian Archives.